All right, so I now be presenting some work that's joined with Bob Bianucci and Abe Ishihara. And since I already gave you the pitch, I'm going to just skip over that. And in this talk, what we're interested in is mobile computing as a disruptive force. And the cell phones have been around for a while. In the very beginning, voice was king. You know, it was all about making calls. And I guess it's fair to say now that we're in the second wave of mobile computing, where it's starting to look like the computer actually has kicked out voice to some extent. You know, everyone is checking their email, they're browsing the web and whatnot on their computers, mobile computers as well as on their tablets and on the cell phone. And we have many more mobile devices, and we can do much more on them than what we were able to do maybe 10 years ago. And with that has come this platform thinking that's similar to desktops and laptops. And what we're hypothesizing is that there's some challenges this brings to the sort of inherited mobile systems infrastructure. So in essence, the challenge here is to better understand the limitations of the current infrastructure and develop the next generation mobile computing infrastructure. So here's the summary of some of the key challenges: robustness, responsiveness, power, and app development. So the robustness is essentially that the wireless characteristics are inherently variable, and you know the telecom network was developed well before mobile computing and mobile phones. So that's sort of the essence of and has very different characteristics. Responsiveness, there's a lot of demand that's very different on the mobile computing side, the cell phone, the smartphone side, than what the infrastructure was developed to handle. You know, voice is very, very different from looking at videos. There's the power challenge, which is actually there was a paper earlier today talking about that to some extent, is that, you know, there's only so much power you can put on a mobile device, and there's only so much it can handle before it gets too hot to handle. And then there's the, app development issue. You know, you now have a very powerful computer in your hand, and distributed computing on the other hand is not easy, you know. And now some of the hardest types of programming deals with distributed computing. And as I said here, these challenges, you know, we don't intend these to be independent. There are other challenges, and some of these challenges are actually well known and are now kind of re-emerging. You know, so you have probably heard of one or more of these before. So I'm not going to talk a whole lot about the robustness challenge, but essentially what we're thinking about here is the on the wireless side, the physical medium is dynamic, variable in reliability, and devices can and do move, and all of these are very different from what we have on the wired side. And after all, a lot of the telecommunications infrastructure was developed for wired networking. And on the responsiveness side, there's a lot of growth in mobile consumption of media. We want to balance these different needs of different traffic against what is fixed resources. They're growing, but they're fixed. And there's a lot of renewed interest in externally controlling a static network, including software defined networking, and create policies that enforce some type of rational resource allocation. And doing this in a more real-time fashion seems to be necessary. But the current operators are treating it more like a static problem. There's the power challenge, and some say that this is perhaps the most important challenge of mobile computing. And to some extent, it's driven by this very competitive app marketplace, right? Everyone wants to create newer apps, more powerful apps, where you can you put in crowdsourcing, you have video, you have a lot of use of the GPS, of your radios on the phone, so you're really draining the phone or your tablet or whatever mobile computing device you're using. And at the same time, a phone at least must operate at this so-called 3-watt limit, else it just gets too hot to handle. So there's only so much power you can push through a phone before it becomes, you know, more of a heating device rather than a phone. At the same time, you want to, of course, minimize the amount of time that you have your mobile device tethered for the purpose of charging. So there's a lot of issues there. And then finally, there's this whole thing with app development, right? Where increasingly we see that a mobile app is maybe not just a game that you sort of play on your own. It's more of a tied maybe to some kind of cloud service. You're communicating with other users of the app. You know, this idea of mashups where you pull together many pieces of cloud software, and you're constantly communicating with these, and you have these IP packets basically between your phone and this infrastructure, so either mobile to cloud or between mobile devices, and they might need to travel quite extensive lengths in the network, and latency can become a major problem. And at the same time, you know, statically dividing an app so that you minimize power usage on the app, it is not easy. You know, these apps are, you know, how they consume power is quite difficult to understand, and also a lot of this depends on what other apps is the person using, etc. So I think there is again, there are some other papers today that talk about this. I think in general it's a quite challenging issue. So with that, the direction we believe this is moving towards is that there will be much more openness in the network and as far as the apps themselves. So the apps, we hope, will start exposing more of their desired network resource allocation, including need for bandwidth, maximum latency. There's an opportunity to create auctions where you can set prices, priorities, and you can think about this as an opportunity for feedback control, and network operators get to maximize their revenue. So I think this is potentially a win-win for several of the parties that are participating in this mobile computing marketplace. Also, if we do this more open style networking, there's an opportunity for apps and networks to do jointly do power management. You can do machine learning of all the based on all the data you can potentially collect, and you can act accordingly. So here's a small example. If you have a very weak signal, you might want to use a codec that minimizes retransmission in order to reduce the waste of power. Talking a little bit more specifically about power, you know, some people say that this is one of the most pressing issues in mobile app creation and mobile computing. And Bobby Anucci, one of my co-authors, is one of them. The observation here is that you can measure this quite effectively when you have an infrastructure that is more open. You can do machine learning and system identification and do feedback control and dynamically migrate parts of an app between the device and the cloud. There has been work done on this, and what we think can potentially be done is to take a broader class of apps and also more fundamentally perhaps take into account what's happening in the network side, because currently what you have in the mobile computing network, especially for cell phones, is a very closed infrastructure. And then there's this issue of responsiveness, coming back to the slide I showed a little bit earlier today, where there is it's a multidimensional problem. You have some desired performance, in this case, responsiveness, and you have, in general, a very multidimensional problem with uncertainty for how the user is using the phone. You have a lot of background processes going on. You have an operating system that, it is changing, it's being updated. You might be running, these days, maybe 3, 4, 5 different applications on your phone. Before you know it, 3 to 5 to 10 years from now, you might be running, 10 to 20 applications. You might have health monitoring, you might have speech recognition, you might have augmented reality. The phone might be tracking your eye movements, who knows, right? And at the same time, you can have various, each phone might be more tailored compared to what it is today. So the hardware will change, and it's a very dynamic environment. And so what we're working towards is this idea of a software-defined open mobile network testbed, where you have software-defined radio, software-defined networking that sits between your voice and data services, as well as sensors, phones. Today, we have already a lot of phones. I don't remember exactly how many phones we have in the world today, but when we start talking about Internet of Things and the next generation of mobile phones, I get almost scared when you think about these numbers. There will be billions, maybe tens and hundreds of billions of these communicating sensors and phones out there. And understanding what is happening, I think today it's hard enough, but you can just imagine 10 years out or 20 years out how complicated this whole infrastructure will be. So what we're proposing here is to create this testbed where you have more opportunities for really digging into the infrastructure, the network infrastructure, with a focus towards mobile devices, and also study in net clouds. You push more of the compute towards the sensors and the phones, because after all, you cannot with the type of power budgets you have on these very simple sensors, you don't really have the power to communicate all the way back to these cloud devices. So we think there's a need to push more of the compute to where the sensors are. So in conclusion, I think we're now at a sort of second wave of mobile computing, and there's emerging this platform thinking that makes the mobile phone, the mobile laptops, the sensors, more and more similar to desktops. And there's a challenge with developing the next generation mobile computing infrastructure. And in particular, there are the challenges of power, app development, responsiveness. When you have so many devices connected to this inherited infrastructure, and finally also a lot of robustness challenges. And we're developing this testbed here at CMU Silicon Valley, and we're looking for collaborators. And we have some more specific ideas, I think, in the paper for how feedback computing can help. And I think autonomic computing, more general, could be, and it's almost a necessity when you start thinking about what this this environment looks like today, and how complicated it is looking to be just a few years out. Thank you. Questions? Yes.
So you mentioned pushing the other computing, hardware computing, to the sensors and phones.
Yes.
So does that imply that the phones and sensors would actually consume more power because you're adding more computing power to them?
Yeah. This you know, this is one of those things that I think it's somewhat controversial. And I think it depends on what community you're coming from. I personally come from sort of more the, you know, the big compute. So I want to suck in everything to one server, you know, and have all the data there because then it's easier to deal with it. One of my other co-authors here, Bob Iannucci, he comes from the world of cell phones. So he was with Nokia, and I can't remember what other companies, but he's been, and he sort of comes from the completely different direction. He wants to really, you know, think about it. The amount, there's physical limits to how much, you know, it's never going to be cheaper to send something from a phone to a cell phone tower. I mean, that's just a fact of physics. On the other hand, at least on, you know, so far, you know, the amount of compute you can put into a mobile device, at least so far we haven't seen the boundary to that. So you're basically looking at a reduced cost of power costs and cost of computing versus basically a fixed physical limit for, and both in terms of, well, especially in terms of power, but also think about, you know, bandwidth and the spectrum is a finite resource as well. So he is really pushing towards, you know, push as much as you can into the device. And, it's a little bit more complicated than that. But I think, you know, that's sort of exactly. There's a non-trivial trade-off there. Any other questions? Yes?
What's the size and the...
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, right now, you know, it's under development. So it's first it's going to be a local test bed that we're building up. We are currently able to make calls, so at least we have sort of the first success. And it's going to be, you know, small cell phones. Instead of saying, you know, AT&T and Verizon and Sprint, it will say CMU. So that's sort of the first step. So it will have to get an FCC license, sort of a trial license. It's going to be similar to licenses that you have sort of as a, not sure what the official name is, but in the US, if you can have a license and you essentially using other companies' infrastructure. So it's going to be similar to that. So initially, it's going to be sort of a local CMU license testbed setup. But then we're looking for, you know, collaborators. The nice thing is that if you take that phone with you somewhere else, you can still use it. So that's the neat thing with using, you know, this infrastructure rather than, say Wi-Fi, because now you sort of have a universal access to the net. But we're starting small, but and the other nice thing is that, you know, you can have other similar labs around the world, right? And other places in the U.S. for that matter. So right now we're just looking at something small, but it has the potential to sort of grow in a very scalable way. Any other questions? Okay, very good. Looks like we're on time. Thank you.